Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Really thankful that you're joining us on this Friday. We are at the end of 2 weeks of teaching by Derek Prince on the theme of a new beginning, and I'm so glad you're here with us. If you've missed any of this, log on to the website at derekprince.org. The entire 2 weeks is available. Weeks of other teachings are available, and I think you'll also find a lot of great material about what's going on with Derek Prince Ministries. Just yesterday, Derek began to compare the Christian life to the Ark of Noah. And there are three real comparisons. He said, first of all, the Ark was perfect from the beginning. Second, there was the moment when Noah's family actually entered the Ark. And finally, there was the ongoing experience of being preserved in the Ark. All of that is a parallel to our salvation. And that's what Derek's talking to us about today, a fascinating illustration. So get something to take notes with, call a friend, and let's listen now as Derek compares the Ark to the new beginnings that we have in God.
In my talk yesterday, I presented Noah's Ark to you as a vivid picture of the new beginning and the new life which God has provided for us in Jesus. Actually, I said that in the Old Testament, there are two main arks. One is the big ark, which Noah and his family constructed. The other is the smaller ark, which was placed by Moses in the tabernacle which God instructed him to build. So there's the one, the little ark in the tabernacle, the other, the big ark, which provided salvation for Noah and his family. I've suggested to you that each ark is a picture or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The big ark represents you in Christ. The little ark represents Christ in you. And then I focused on the first picture in my talk yesterday, the big ark, the Ark of Noah. And I pointed out that this Ark of Noah provided salvation in three phases. First of all, it was complete and perfect from the time of construction onward. Nothing ever had to be done to it after that. It never had to be improved or adjusted or recalled. It was just completely right from the moment it was finished. Then, at a given moment, Noah and his family had to enter the ark. That was a transaction in a space-time world. And without that transaction, the ark would still have been perfect, but it would have been no benefit to Noah and his family. They had to make a decision. They had to carry out a simple action. They had to move out of the outside world into the ark. And then from the moment that they entered the ark, then it provided a continuous, ongoing salvation. All the time it was protecting and preserving them from the waters of the flood that were God's judgment on an ungodly world. And eventually, through being in the ark and through passing through the water, they emerged into a new world, a new life, the very theme of our talks, a new beginning. Today we're going to turn to the New Testament, and I'm going to show you how these three phases of the ark apply exactly to the salvation which God offers us in Jesus. I'll be speaking about what I call the three tenses of salvation, the three tenses of the verb to save. Now, some of you may not be grammarians by nature, so let me say just a word about tense. The word tense is used by grammarians to define the time which is denoted by the form of a verb. And there are three main times: past, present, and future. So we speak about a past tense, a present tense, a future tense. Now I'm going to take those grammatical terms and show you how they're used in connection with the verb to save, and how they are extremely illuminating they help us to understand just how salvation can work in our lives. First of all, I want to take the perfect tense of salvation. Now, the perfect tense denotes something that happened in the past, which remains the way it happened. It is not then subject to further change. So it describes something from the past that still persists in the same form on into the present. And that tense is used of the verb to save. For example, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where Paul says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." It is by grace you have been saved. That's the perfect tense. It describes something that happened in the past, but that thing, having once happened, remains. It's there. It's settled. It's complete. It's final. And that's how salvation is. That's like the ark after it was built. It was complete, perfect. Nothing more ever needed to be done to it. That's the salvation that has been provided once for all by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The New Testament emphasizes Jesus is never going to have to die again. He's never going to have to offer the sacrifice of himself once more. Once for all, he died. He paid the total penalty for the sins of all men. He sealed off the evil inheritance from Adam. He opened the door to the new inheritance, the eternal and immortal inheritance, the inheritance in which we are heirs of hope. That's the perfect tense of salvation. It's very, very important we understand that on God's side, nothing more ever has to be done. When Jesus cried out in his last moments on the cross, "It is finished," that was good news. It meant all that God will ever have to do was done from that moment onwards. So never think in terms of God having to do anything more to provide salvation. God's salvation is as complete and perfect as the ark was from the day construction was finished on it.
You know, the Bible tells us that we have been saved, we are being saved, and we will ultimately one day be saved. Derek is teaching us about the tenses of our salvation and its powerful truth. Listen, there's wonderful material to come, including a special visit with award-winning musician Phil Kagi as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
What can a dog teach you about the Christian life? The surprising answer is quite a bit. In his CD teaching, Caleb, Lessons from a Dog's Life, Derek Prince explains how that Hebrew name, Caleb, literally means a dog. And he reveals some canine characteristics found in the biblical figure, Caleb, that positioned him to be used mightily by God. With it, you'll discover how to experience the flavor, victory, and blessing Caleb enjoyed for yourself. Call now to order your own copy of this insightful CD for only $6.95. 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. There's never been a greater need for teaching like his. Caleb, Lessons from a Dog's Life. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. Great to have you with us on this Friday. And Derek Prince, scholar, expert in Greek, is actually transforming our lives with an understanding of Greek words and Greek grammar. Continuous present tense, simple past tense. It sounds dry, but I'll tell you what, it's absolutely opening our minds to who we are in Jesus. Let's listen as Derek teaches us about our new beginnings in Christ.
Then we move from the perfect tense to what's called the simple past. The simple past describes an event that happened at a given moment in past time, a transaction in a space-time world. Now, this simple past tense is used in a passage that we've read many times in the past 3 weeks, in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, and in the version that I'm reading, the translators use it twice in the one verse, which I like because it's good news. It says, "He, God, saved us." not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Now that's the simple past tense. That's a specific event that took place at a given moment in the past. Now that has to be repeated in the life of each one of us. Salvation is there as far as God is concerned, but for you and me, it has to happen. There has to be a point when God saves us. I can look back now just over 40 years, and I can remember very vividly the time and the exact place where God saved me. There's not the faintest doubt in my mind. I was there when it happened. People can argue, they can theorize, they can dispute, but for me, it's a fact. It's a fact of my personal history. God saved me. That corresponds to Noah and his family entering into the ark. The ark was there. It was complete. It provided the salvation they needed. But they would never have benefited from the ark unless they themselves had made the personal decision, carried out the simple action of moving out of the world and into the ark. So Paul says, God saved us. Simple past tense. Now I'm going to move on to the third tense of salvation, the continuous present. The continuous present tense describes something that is going on, happening all the time, like it is raining. That describes something that's going on. It doesn't just happen at one moment. It isn't complete in the past. It's continuing. Or the sun is shining. Whatever example you want to take. Now, salvation also is presented in the New Testament in the continuous present tense. And I'd like to show you one very vivid example in 1 Corinthians 1:18. Paul says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." That's the continuous present tense of salvation, us who are being saved. And it's said, in opposition to the continuous present tense of the opposite, those who are perishing. That's those who are outside the ark. They are perishing. Those who've moved across into the ark, they are being saved. The ark continually protected them. They didn't have to make a lot of further efforts. Once they were in the ark, they were inside its protection. It came between them and the waters that would have drowned and destroyed them. As long as they remained in the ark, they were continuously being saved. So Paul says, the message of the cross to us who have believed it, embraced it, acted upon it, it is salvation. We are being saved by the power of God. And then a passage in the New Testament that describes the transition to a new world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." That's entering into the ark. Once we've entered into the ark, then we are continually being shielded by the power of God, and we are being preserved into that new inheritance of which Peter there speaks so vividly, an inheritance that cannot spoil or fade or perish. That's what's for us in Christ. Now, if these messages of mine have touched you and you've sensed in yourself a need for that vital transaction of moving into the ark, why not write and tell us, and we'll be praying for you and holding you up before God so that that becomes a reality in your life.
You know, the way Derek teaches this, our job is so simple. We simply have to stay in the ark. I mean, think about it. How many Christians jump out of the ark, jump out of the protection that God's ordained for them, jump out of the provision that God has granted them? And so almost a slogan for our lives that coming out of this teaching from Derek is, stay in the ark. Listen, there's so much more to come, including a wonderful visit with award-winning musician Phil Kagi as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Salvation. What does this familiar word really mean? The forgiveness of sins? The ticket to heaven? As wonderful as these definitions are, there is much more to salvation than most believers know. Now, in a powerful little booklet entitled Complete Salvation, Derek Prince reveals how the work Jesus did on the cross made a way for all to experience a great, glorious, and complete salvation. In it, you'll discover what salvation truly is and show you the steps you can take to receive and enjoy all of its benefits, both now and for eternity. To order your copy, Complete Salvation, free and postage paid, simply call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and the booklet are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and with me in the studio today is one of the fathers of contemporary Christian music, one of the best musicians really in the world, and that's not me saying that. Very major names have given this man that kind of praise, and one of the men, I think, who has really helped to lead a generation in Jesus, and his name is Phil Keaggy. Phil, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Stephen. It's great to be with you today.
And Phil was with us some weeks ago, and he was telling us about his experience at a place called the Love Inn in upstate New York. It was a Christian community where he was really impacted by the ministry of Derek Prince. Now, you're 18, 20, somewhere in that range, early 20s probably.
Yeah, early 20s.
And you know, we remember the 60s, we remember the don't trust anyone over 30 stuff, we remember that really the generation gap was more of an issue then than we think about it being an issue now. Mm-hmm. And so what fascinates me is, you know, Love Inn was for the most part a young, you know, Jesus movement kind of thing, people in their late teens and 20s for the most part. How did Derek relate, or how did they relate to this 50-year-old British guy? You know, this really was quite literally the World War II generation, the parents, the generation of the parents of these kids at Love Inn. And I'm just wondering how the connection happened. I mean, you seem to have a connection with him personally, but how was that managed at a time when generation gaps and generational differences were such a hot issue?
Well, first of all, when I became born again and I experienced new birth in 1970, one of the first things that took place within that year was that all of a sudden I began to discover people outside of my age group, mm-hmm. beyond my age group, older than me. I gained a love and a respect for older people. In fact, my mom was killed in a car accident in February of 1970. Shortly after that, I became a Christian. Shortly after that, I met Bernadette, who became my wife. But at around the same time, I met an elderly woman who was a widow, and also she was a missionary to Egypt in her mid-70s. She became like a spiritual grandmother to me. We held Bible studies in her place, and I got to know her friends and would take her to visit her friends who were in the nursing home. And so I think what happens is the 60s were about us. And then when Jesus came into our lives and our lives were transformed, I saw it happen to my contemporaries, my friends who became born again, that they loved older people. Mm-hmm. And there was a respect there. So God just prepared our hearts for people like Derek Prince.
So in a sense, it was the new birth and the whole work of the Holy Spirit that was healing what was bedeviling the generation as a whole. I mean, the generation mm-hmm. whole was just rent by this generation gap. But you were experiencing something different as the Holy Spirit really, you know, brought the generations together.
Yeah, and that's to me why the whole 60s movement, the searching for peace and the whole, it was kind of isolation, you mm-hmm. know. It was like, it's us, you know, and if you're over 30, you know, you're out of it, man, you know.
Right.
That's basically a deception.
Yeah.
You know, but Jesus sets us free from those deceptions, and he opens our eyes. You know, we have the mind of Christ. And, you know, look at, God chose Abraham and Sarah when they were way into their winter years, you can say, and as well as Moses. And God regards older people with wisdom, and he put it in our hearts to do the same, you know. So that's why, if you're teachable, basically you honor and you learn from those who are older, who are your elders, who've been through a lot and experienced a lot, you know. So
sure, that's what it should be.
And Derek's ministry lives on. He really took seriously his relationship with God, and yet at the same time was a very relatable father figure, and following God and doing God's will was no joke to him. He didn't take it lightly. That's the thing that impressed me the most about him. He was confident in God. He seemed to be very direct. Words to him meant something. And what he communicated, whether he was teaching or whether he was just having conversation. But at the same time, I sensed, especially having read the biography that you wrote, that he was very honest, very honest. And you know what? I know he enjoyed a good laugh now and then.
Oh, yes.
The closer you are to God, the more human you really become.
You know, I'm aware that probably unlike most other people today, you have your finger on the pulse not only of what was happening back in the era we've been talking about where you first encountered Derek, but with a younger generation on the rise today, your daughter, others. How do you think Derek is relevant to the 20-somethings today? How do you think he can be meaningful to a new generation? This man who's now years dead and passed away in his 80s, I think you and I would both agree, he's still very relevant. How do you see that?
He's still having an impact. Derek Prince is among the greats. I think it'd be great if more listeners and more readers could discover Derek Prince.
Phil, I just can't tell you how much I appreciate your time. I appreciate your ministry, your impact on the generations, and certainly your many tributes to Derek Prince. Thanks for being with us.
And you're very welcome. Glad to be with you today.
Now before we go, this has been such a perfect dovetailing of Phil Kagi talking to us about his experience of the love of God and what was going on at the Love Inn and under Derek Prince's ministry and what Derek has been teaching us for the last 2 weeks. You know, I think about those kids up there at the Love Inn, and they'd been caught up in that whole 1960s counterculture, the sexual experimentation, the drugs, the rock and roll, the Eastern mysticism, and they encountered Jesus. And he set them free from all their junk, got them out of their addictions, began to break their hearts with his love, and began to fashion them for what they were made for. And there are hundreds of them, like Phil Kagi, not all of them, of course, with his musical skill, but hundreds of them whose lives were transformed by the love that Jesus showed them and the power of that love in having prepared a perfect salvation. And this is what Derek has been teaching us about the fact that there can be a new beginning. Some of you listening today need the new beginning that is a salvation experience in Jesus. You've been listening, you haven't really sort of joined the club in a sense, you haven't really bought in, but you've been listening and you've begun to find yourself believing that there is a Jesus, believing that he offers salvation, believing that he died for your sins. Today, you need to get on your knees and say, Jesus, I want you into my life. I believe you died for me. I want to exchange my stinky life for yours. And then there are some listening today who are Christians. You've been born again for a while, but you have made a serious mess. You've got some serious secret sin going. You've got whatever the horrible situations. We know the whole list. I don't need to go through it. Everything from divorce to theft to criminal activity to whatever, big church explosions that are wounding, whatever it might be. And God is able to grant you a new beginning right where you are as well. So just briefly, Father, I ask you to meet everyone who is listening right where they are, not so much physically where they are, but in their hearts, wherever they are, bring them home, grant them that new beginning, help them to step into the ark that is Jesus Christ. Now listen, this teaching is so important. Please log on to the website at derekprince.org. You'll find material that we're making available, booklets like the booklet Complete Salvation that are completely available to you free and postage paid, and you'll find so much other wonderful teaching. Well, that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again next week as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's insightful audio CD, Caleb, Lessons from a Dog's Life, for only $6.95 when you call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to request your free copy of Derek's powerful little booklet, Complete Salvation. It's yours, free and postage paid, as our way of saying thank you for listening. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.